Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Lots to talk about. I think what I'm going to do is make two episodes because next week I know I got to I'll be too busy to even record one. So just an update. I think on a recent episode I talked about how I was the last one left at work. Well, I found another job, which is good because I'm leaving on my own terms. I'm not leaving when it's time that I get kicked out the door. So everything worked out with that really well. So I'll be heading to a new job. Could be less podcasting for a while as I get as I start to learn the new job. So it means more hours usually, so I can be effective. But that was good news. Some other things I've been doing lately that might shock you is I bought Marvel Unlimited, which is the digital service that Marvel offers. And it could be what actually changes me a little bit, but I have been really impressed with it. Some of the things that I've been reading are books that I don't own. And then some of the other things, like what I read digitally for usually is I tend to wake up in the middle of the night 'cause I can't sleep. So like I'll crash out pretty early and sleep till about 2, and then I can't sleep. So like from 2 to 4, sometimes 2 to 5, I can't sleep. And then I'll go back to sleep and crash hard again until it's time for me to wake up. But during that time, I read. And if I don't come downstairs to read a physical copy, I don't want to turn on the light and disrupt Barb, so I'll read digitally. So some of the things I've been really digging or reading is on Marvel Unlimited is I've been tackling some of the Len Wein era Fantastic Four and some of the Len Wein Incredible Hulk. And a lot of these things he scripted and gave the dialogue to other people, or he did both. But a lot of the times he would give the dialogue, he would plot it and then give the dialogue to somebody else to write. And I've really enjoyed tackling both issues of the Hulk in that time frame and Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four was roughly when they were breaking up. It's when Reed lost his powers, and he basically said, "Well, I need to form a normal life and go on." And they were selling off the Baxter Building, and Sue gets a postcard from Lumpkin, the postman. He said, "I don't usually deliver these," but he wanted to deliver this, and it's Willie says, "Hey, here's your postcard," and it says, "Hey Sue, we want you to come now that we know that you're disbanding the Fantastic Four. Have you ever thought of being in Hollywood? We'll give you a job as an actress." So she goes out there. Ben decides to spend more time with Alicia. And Reed wants to just get a normal job, and the Human Torch goes out west and meets up with Wyatt Wingfoot and another friend of his that they end up racing in a car race and fight the Texas Twister, which is that tornado guy. He has a ridiculous outfit, if you ask me. It's blue and he wears a cowboy hat and stuff like that. There was a group of like heroes called the Texas Twist, the Texas Rangers, I think. When they were doing like, okay, different states had different heroes, and Texas Twister was in there, and he was a good guy at that time, but this guy, he's sort of a villain. So like I've been really digging that stuff, and then I've been reading the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, which has been a really, really interesting ride. The Hulk is believed to be dead, at least S.H.I.E.L.D. thinks he is, and he's not. I guess he went into space for something and they thought he was dead. But when he comes back down to Earth, he gets convoluted in like with pirates of the seas and meets a guy who thinks he's Robinson Crusoe and has a devolver, and he gets involved with man, I can't think of his name. He's a aquatic character, Stingray. Stingray, he's a scientist that's around Atlantis or wherever Namor is. So yeah, it's been really, really interesting and really cool to explore these areas. And what they're causing me to do is it kicks off that collector mentality. So it's doing exactly what you'd think it would do for me, is I read it and I really enjoy it and I want the physical copy and add to my collection. And it's been bizarre lately because a lot of the orders I've been purchasing are on the Marvel end and not the DC end, which is taking me away from the goal of all the books since 1973. But my last procurement, I'm not going to spell them all out until I receive them, but I decided to get Daredevil number 9 and minus 1, so I think I'm going to only need like 8 issues left, and I'll have a full run of every single Daredevil comic in his own title ever published. So I think I'm also wrapping up the Thing, not Marvel 2-in-1, but when the Thing had his own title, went off in space. I'm gonna complete that run, and I'm still working on the War Zone. There's a few that my comic shop didn't have. When I say my comic shop, it's mycomicshop.com, that I'd need to fill. So yeah, that's kind of some of the things I've been doing, like reading at night. Been enjoying the Marvel Unlimited app. The other thing that's been helping is the process that I do for Marvel and DC is, and this will drive Rob crazy if he's listening, but I get the digital co when I actually do my books. The process is, I sort them alphabetically by company. I put all the independents in one pile, all the DC in one pile, and all the Marvel in one pile, and then I scan them into the comic base. So I go bloop 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 bloop, get them all in there. Then I do the collected editions. I've been averaging probably 5 to 6 collected editions a week. There's been 1 or 2 weeks where I just got one, but on average, it's 4 to 6. Like for this past week, what came in? See, you got another Daredevil Epic Collection number 14, and if you all know that I'm getting every single Epic Collection, I got the Legion by Abnett and Lanning. I got Harlequin's Celebration of 25 Years. I kind of wish I would have gotten all the DC ones. These are actually fascinating, especially when it's longer lived heroes, at least for me, because they're picking the best of type stories, and it's important to me because it from somebody else's eyes in editorial or whoever puts these together, they're saying these are the best stories of that character. Same with like the Arkham Asylum trades, fascinating books because you get an insight of what other people think are the most important stories of the character. And I'm very interested in that. So I like that run. I also, this is not quadruple, this is triple dipped on Batman the Dark Knight Master Race Deluxe Edition. It's the entire series. This one, and I've said it on my other podcast, I think I like it better than Dark Knight Returns. I just absolutely love it. I get a lot more comics than anybody that I know. Like, there's not one person I know that gets more comics than me. There are people that read more comics than me a week, and there's a lot of them. I am a mood reader, so I read when I get it and as I have time, and I don't often have a lot of time depending on how work goes. But I do like to have everything in stock, so when I'm ready for it, I have it. But this book, The Dark Knight Master Race, I have read three times already. I've read the comic book, the single issues, once, and then I read the deluxe edition hardcover, which are the thin ones, twice each. Those are I love the way those are packaged. Amazing set, and it came with like a bookcase, the last issue, like a slip case. Really cool. And one other thing that you'll hear in an upcoming episode of this is I want to talk. Back Issue Magazine celebrated their 100th issue, and they're talking a lot about like fanzines, and I want to talk a little bit about them. But specifically, there's an article on the Comic Mobile. There was actually, you've always heard of like bookmobiles. Well, there was a comic book mobile, and they sold comics out of it. And I want to learn about this because I had no idea. And not only is that thing that interesting to me, but they put in the history of the comic book the sales by title in order of what sold the best. And I so want to talk to you guys about it because it's so interesting. You'll never get what number one is, but it is a series that I want to complete at some point. I think my brother has almost a full run of it, but I have like one issue maybe if I'm lucky. It's something that I want to acquire. I think this will be something I want to talk about. I'll take this with me when I'm working in, away, and I'll take notes on this because it looks like a really interesting article. So you'll have that to look forward to. So having said that, I'm gonna get into some questions, and there are a lot of them. Some of the questions I get, and I really appreciate it. I don't have to prompt for them; they just came, or they were spawned off of something. And those are the ones that I'm gonna talk about. These ones are pretty doggone interesting questions. So I will start at the bottom. These came in about 2 weeks ago. I might have prompted for them and then never recorded, or they just came, or they were spawned off of a comment I made and then a question back to me. So I thought I would ask him back. But Darrow Spicer, who I sort of know, I think he would contact me when I was doing the Valiant podcast. We actually did a Valiant podcast, so look at it. It was really a Gotham by Geeks, but we talked a lot of Valiant, so it became a episode of Valiant podcast, and it's out now as we speak. It was released a couple days ago. I'd really like to do that more. I just wish there was more time in my life because I love to talk comics, man. It's one of the things that helps me de-stress. It helps me think about things maybe even differently than I thought about them the first time. This podcast helps me because I walk around the room and brainstorm and think about things. Just like you would off the cuff. Like, I don't plan this, I just talk to it. But Darrow Spicer says, "Might be too late. What do you think about the politics in Marvel Comics currently? Do you prefer politics to stay out of comics?" And politics has been popping up in many Marvel and DC comics. Maybe he's going specifically with what Nick Spencer's doing, especially what he was doing in Captain America books, the Sam Wilson and the Steve Rogers. A lot of politics there. You could see like current events there taking place. And several other books are doing this. And it hasn't bothered me because I'm a mood reader. So I know what I'm going to read and I know when I'm going to read it. And I can control when I read things. And I think that's why I like things more than 90% of the people is because I read it when I want to. Kind of like when you watch TV. I watch TV not because I have to. I watch what I want when I want. Like right now, I'm watching Wynonna Earp. It's interesting because I started watching that with Barb when it first came out. I think we saw the pilot. And I was like, I don't need to see it anymore. Let's delete it off the DVR. Well, it showed up on Netflix. I had just finished Van Helsing, which I absolutely love, which is a sci-fi show. Almost done with Blood Drive, which is a sci-fi show. And I needed something to exercise to that Barb didn't give two shits about or hasn't expressed any interest in it. So I was like, oh, Wynonna Earp. I'll start watching it again. And by God, did I get into that series. Big time. Like, I love that guy who plays Doc Holliday. Oh, he's so good. so much to the fact that in my next mycomicshop.order, at least in my back issue shopping cart, I have I'm going after the first series of Wynonna Earp. I've been getting the IDW stuff, but it really changed my opinion on that. Some of the other things that I've been in mood for watching is I started watching just to clear the DVR a little bit. Is some of the Justice League actions. Really cool. One episode had Booster Gold, and it was like a Jurassic Park. He was watching Jurassic Park and saw the first 10 minutes, and he goes, man, that's a good idea. So he made his own Jurassic Park, and it turned out that Green Arrow had to get him out of it. It was a really cool episode. The other one was more interesting that I thought, and it was the Red and Blue Superman, except a very, very different take. Luther developed a machine that could separate them, and when he separated them, the blue one was everything good that was a Superman, and the red one was the opposite. So agitated, angry, almost wanted to kill Luther, and beamed it towards Wonder Woman, made an evil and a good Wonder Woman, and did the same thing with Batman. And then their plan was to shoot the whole beam from the watchtower in space, the satellite, and do it to everybody and just wipe out the blue characters because they were too polite and courteous and they could take them out. But they did it to Luther accidentally, and it had the inverse effect. Red Luther was everything good about Luther, and Blue Luther was the bad one, and Luther ended up saving the day, and it was pretty freaking amazing. The weird thing about the series is my DVR sometimes catches it and sometimes doesn't, because they're only 10 minutes. They're 12 minutes max long, and it's really bizarre, and I don't know why they chose to do it like this. I the only thing I can think of is they figure kids today have a short attention span with everything they got on their iPads and stuff, that they could keep their interest for 10 minutes or 12 minutes, and then they would stop it. It's like a episode of the Teen Titans Go stuff. But, yeah, I watch TV like I read my comics, like I eat my food. Like, I don't force myself to eat a pizza or a hamburger when I'm not in the mood for it. So when I do eat a pizza and a hamburger and I am in the mood for it, I really enjoy it. Like, it makes life more enjoyable to focus on what you're in the mood for than feeling forced to read it, like getting your Wednesday comics and being a Wednesday warrior and just read it. I think you'll be more critical of it because you might not be in the mood for what you're reading. But I am different, and I'm fortunate the way I get to read like a library, if you will. And not everybody can do that. If I was only getting 5 comics, I would probably read those 5 comics as I got them. Fortunately, I buy a lot more comics. So that's a good question. And I beat that to death a little bit, but it went off on several tangents. But I'm okay with politics and comics. Plus, they tend to think like me. I guess if I was in the other camp, like if I was a Trump supporter, maybe I'd feel a little bit differently. But I think the man's crazy. I really do. And I think he's got the intellect of a... He speaks like a child. And he doesn't think before he says anything. And he doesn't even understand the ramifications of what he says. And he likes to detract... He likes to detract issues when he can't get the issues with something else. He likes to throw... Like, he attacked the NFL. He likes to do shit... Which is probably, like, if you're reading a book on dictators, which what you should do. Make the media look bad, you know. Detract when something of focus comes to attack you. You detract it with something else. He's smart in that way. And, man, does he... I don't know. I think he's the worst president I've ever seen in my life. But that's just me personally. You might feel differently. But I'm okay with politics and my comics. It is interesting to read politics in comics in back issue stuff. Because it takes you back to different eras. And in some eras... I wasn't even born yet, so like if I see something in like a Golden Age or Silver Age comic, I might not have been born yet. But pretty much everything Bronze Age forward, I have experienced in some form or another. So that's a good question. Thank you, Darrow. The other question he asked was spawn off of a comment I made. I made a comment that said, "I have never sold a comic unless it was a duplicate." And that's a true statement. I've never sold a comic since I was born. I've traded some when I was younger, didn't have the money. So in order to read more, you would invest 20 cents in a comic book, and that 20 cents would get you 10, 15 comic books that you trade with friends, and you never know what you'd end up with. But that is that question, and his question was, "What would let me actually read it?" I'm walking around and trying to remember it, but let me read it. I'll go next to the computer. He says, "Surely there must be a tipping point, though. Say you bought Saga number 1 at cover price, and you would get $200 for it." And I kind of already answered it. I've never sold it. And I do have Saga number 1. I have Giant Size X-Men. I have Batman number 4. So, like, Saga number 1, I mean, to a lot of the comic books I own, is piddly in dollar value compared to what some of the other books I have. So, yeah, I've never sold it, nor am I interested to. That could change, though, at some point. So that's where I'm at now, and that's where I've been, never wanting to sell a comic. I've thought about selling, Monstrous, because I didn't like it. I didn't like it, and it sells for a pretty good price. And I was like, do I really want this in my collection, and then I guess laziness took over, and I just bagged and boarded it, put it in the box. But I didn't care for Monstrous. So the other question is from Drew from Comics from Fun and Profit. He asked this off the cuff. He asked the last time what I would do if my house was on fire and I could go in and save some comics. What would I do? I pretty much said I just let it all burn. But I talked about Batman number 3. He says, how long have you been a mood reader? Did you ever read like us Wednesday Warriors? Or any other type of reading? Only when I'm forced to. Or something drives it, like another podcast. And those tend to be the podcasts that I pod fade. Just because I am a mood reader. DC Weekly Reads started off as I was keeping caught up. And you'll see that as I read off my books later, that I was caught up with DC. I was reading like a Wednesday Warrior. And it didn't feel right. It felt forced. And I think I was being too judgmental, even though I gave them good scores. It just feels off to me. I am a Wednesday Warrior, though. For all my DC books, I still get at the comic shop. I go every Wednesday, unless work dictates I can't. But I'm usually there every week at Wednesday at lunch hour. Get my books, and then I bring them home, and I follow the process. And I forgot to finish talking about what would drive Rob crazy is after I've sorted all the books and I've scanned them into the database, I go look for the digital codes and I load them into the apps. So DC's $3.99 books now have a digital code, and Marvel's. And the benefit to that is if at night or if I'm traveling, I can read comics that I've already bought. And comics are expensive. You know, $3.99 is a lot of money. You might as well get your digital comic book. And it really doesn't degrade the book much if you look at what it is. You could still be, like, very fine and have the sticker off. So, but I think if you sell it, you owe it to the buyer to say digital code removed. Not that I'm selling anything, but I think it's a fair thing because, man, there's some anal retentive collectors. Holy shit. I've seen some, like, they have one of the guys at the comic store that's anal retentive that I see him grade the books, and man, they look okay to me. And he's like, nope, damaged. And I'm like, holy crap, man. But I come from a different era, too. Like, when I used to roll them up in my pocket, and all the covers were ripped off because I went to the garbage dump to get them. So that's how my dad got me into comics, by taking me to the garbage dump. If it wasn't for those trips to the garbage dump every month to get thrown away comics, who knows? Would I be in comics? I probably would have read them because in elementary school, that was a thing to do, but I don't know if I would have read the quantity that I did and learned to love the history in every single comic book that could be published, whether it be Archie or any book that they put away, any Marvel, DC. It got me to see a diverse bunch, even romance comics I was reading. So, which is one of my favorites today. I love, you talk about history. Oh my God, there's like a slice of how men and women were thought to have acted, and it's written by a white man usually. So it's an interesting thing. It's almost like reading Tales from the Crypt, except for romance. And then you combine, they even had a romance horror, so if you combine both of those, it was really even more interesting. So that's a very good question. I've been a mood reader all my life. Sometimes I deviate from that, and it's usually not my idea. That's why I do Geek Brunch. I can read what I want. Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's, DC Noise, which isn't really a lot about comic books, but it's about life, which we haven't done in a long, long time because someone's wife. But I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, and Brian Regate says, "What are you?" This is a really good question. I forgot I had. This is an old one, I think, but I'm gonna answer it again. What are your favorite past comic book marriages, significant relationships? He says like Alan Scott and Molly Maine and Jay and Joan Garrick. He does a comics history podcast, and his favorite is Alan Scott, and he likes a lot of the Golden Age stuff, but Alan Scott's one of his favorite. Some of the relationships that I've really dug is Elongated Man and his wife. I love Sue and Ralph Dibny to the point that Identity Crisis, I couldn't stop crying. I even thinking about it, like Identity Crisis, it just breaks my heart. Like, imagine that you're one of the best detectives, okay, next to Batman, and you know every year that your wife is gonna surprise you on your birthday. And you're out patrolling and you're looking forward to it, even though you know it's predictable. You know that you're gonna come. And Sue is going to surprise you with the gift. And you come home and your wife is dead. Imagine that. I mean, that's heartbreaking, man. It's fucked up. And not only that, but the gift to him was, I'm pregnant. And he's not going to ever have a kid. And then you like see the relationship. In Detective, you saw it in Justice League Europe. You saw it in the satellite era. I mean, you see glimpses of the couple, and God, it was like strong. And even post Identity Crisis, they were kind of like ghost detectives, but they never really explored that. But if you explored it, you could have been, similar to like Dr. Mirage that Valiant did, there are detectives in the supernatural realm. It's very interesting. But do you see how I just like talk about it and I get real emotional? I've always liked Sue and Reed, but Reed drives me crazy because it seems like the love is One Direction, and then there's Alicia and Ben. I mean, they've had some really good moments. Another couple, Black Bolt and Medusa. I absolutely love their relationship, and I love that they played with the idea when they separated after the Terrigen Mists went away, you know, got spread and everything, and the trust between them had died. And Johnny started dating Medusa, and then it formed this weird love triangle because he used to date Crystal. And there's a scene I absolutely love, and Johnny like was walking by Black Bolt, and Black Bolt goes by a candle, and he just says, like he's almost like telling him, if you hurt Medusa, I'm gonna blow out that candle, because he just goes by it and he goes, whew, he blows out the candle, looks right at the torch, and it's like, oh fuck, fuck. But man, there's such good relationships. There's Carter and Shiera, the Hawkman, Hawkwoman. I would say that Joan and Jay, Wally and Linda Park, like, I love that. I didn't feel Iris and Flash. It felt like too one-dimensional, but I think it's a little different now. I need to grab another water. So as I'm walking, I'm going to walk and get a bottled water, if you don't mind. But I'll keep mumbling as I'm grabbing it, so you can hear that. I could talk about this subject for there's Mary Jane and Peter Parker, amazing relationship. I was just reading a clone saga, Spider-Man Unlimited issue, and it's simple things like she knows that Peter goes out every single day. Every single day. But she just turned on the TV and she saw that Boomerang, the Marvel Boomerang, dropped a building on him and it looked like he was dead. And she just broke down. Like, imagine not knowing your loved one. And it could happen with real cops and firemen today. Like, they get in situations where they might not come back. And I never really thought about that because my dad was a firefighter. And I never once in my life thought, you know, he might not come back. But thankfully, every time he went out, he came back. But, man, this is a good question. I could talk about this for days. And there is Lois and Clark. Really powerful, especially when they got married and stuff. Really cool. There's the Atom, and they also related to the identity crisis and his woman, which she became a Calypso. But there's all kinds of relationships that you'll see in comics, like Kyle Rayner. He's had his girlfriend, even though you didn't know her very long, and you come home and you see her stuffed in a refrigerator, and he's dated like Jade. He's dated Donna, Starfire, and Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon, fantastic relationship. Huntress and Dick Grayson, they had an interesting relationship. He's had so many relationships. He's like, he goes through women a lot. Kyle had a lot of girlfriends like that too. Yeah, there's so many to talk about, and I have a slew of more questions. But I think I'm going to end it with that list. Let me know what some of your lists are, and we can talk about that even more on a future episode of Mike M's. So let me make sure I'm still recording, and I am, which is good. And let's get to the weekly reads. So, let me see where I was. Okay. Da 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 da. Okay, I know where I'm at now. So this is for the books from December 26th to New Year's Eve. And I read a lot that week. It's what I should be reading a week based on what I get. I should probably average around 80 comic books a week if I wanted to keep caught up. And that doesn't include all the trades that I get. And I've been all into the trades like hardcore lately. But you know what else came in? I just hate to detract. But the Sword Quest Collected Edition. Okay, so Dynamite's publishing a new Sword Quest comic. But if you were into the Atari games back in the day, they came out with these mini comics. and it was Sword Quest 1 through 3. The fourth one was never released. They Dynamite collected those, and it's a mini trade, just like the size of those mini comics. It has Sword Quest 1 through 3, and it has Yar's Revenge, which also came with the comic book. So, I've never read any of those because, for one thing, I wasn't into role-playing games, so never got like. I did get Yar's Revenge. I was a huge Yar's Revenge fan. I like Yar's Revenge quite a bit. I even think I have it now on the iPad. There was a Atari iPad thing, and it has all of the a lot of the coin ups games, but it also has a lot of the 2600 games on it, and Yar's Revenge is one of them. And if you watch that documentary Game Over, I think it's what it's that Atari one. I think it was Game Over. It was when they had to go to the dump site to find all of the ET cartridges. But they t the creator of the ET game was also the creator of Yar's Revenge, so it was really interesting. You probably say, how does this guy talk about so much shit by himself, unplanned? I don't know. I think it's walking around and spinning and thinking. It just keeps me talking. But anyway, for that week, there was a total of 59 comics, 5 Valiant, 3 Titan, 20 Marvel, 1 Devil's Due, and 30 DC. At this point in time, I was pretty much reading DC Weekly, or maybe a week behind, but it was pretty clockwork. And I was like that on Rebirth for quite a while, and then I realized I needed to detach, and I still haven't fell back into that reading mode yet. I've been reading a lot of Marvel comics. I've been really into it lately. So we have the 3 out of 5s. Amazing Spider-Man Annual. I didn't really care for it, but I put down that the only redeeming part of the story is the Cloak and Dagger story, which was the middle story. Everything else was pretty forgettable. I like Cloak and Dagger, though. I'm a sucker for it. I was just listening to a Nerdy Legion, and they were talking about TV shows, and I totally forgot that a Cloak and Dagger was coming to Freeform or whatever that ABC Family is now. And there was a lot of other series that I had no clue about. Like, I think Runaways is coming to Hulu. Like, I no idea. I'm not even ready for more TV. I still haven't even watched Luke Cage or Iron Fist or Defenders or any of that. I am barely getting caught up on Legends of Tomorrow. I love that show. I love it a lot. It's like it pokes at. It's lighthearted, but it pokes at the details of the DC Universe that I think a fan of the DC Universe will get all the Easter eggs and stuff and really enjoy it if you're not too critical. But unfortunately, a lot of people are too critical. And a lot of fandom is over the top, if you ask me. But the next one is Superpowers number 2. Yes, I get all. When I say I get all DC, I get everything. All the Vertigo, all the DC, all the kids' books. Superpowers is a kids' book. This is where the team takes on Composite Superman. There is an unknown Superman to the rescue, and it's confusing, but it is a really confusing kids' book for an adult. Jor-El and Laura were giving birth to a brainiac. So it looks really weird. But entertaining, lighthearted, something you could read before bed and decompress. Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, Volume 2, Number 1 and 2. Volume 1, I really, really enjoyed. So this one to me took a step backward. It wasn't as good. It's not by the same team. I can't remember who writes this. Is it Jerry Conway? I can't remember. I love Jerry Conway, by the way. Reestablishing the family chemistry and who takes over Regent's technology, because Regent was the main villain who was sucking out superpowers in the first volume. We have Silk 14 and 15. These ones I read out of order, so like you might see later on some earlier issues of Silk, but I was reading Clone Conspiracy. And these were the Clone Conspiracy tie-in. And what did this one? Has Maddie a Spider Girl clone? Maddie, if you remember, was the John Byrne Spider Woman or Spider Girl. And there's a JJJ, J. Jonah Jameson fact TV show. We have a Harlequin number 10 at the last 3 out of 5. This says Harley has to go into Santa's mind to save Christmas. I think as the series went on, I liked it a lot more. I'm starting to feel Harlequin a lot more as a lighthearted book, and I'm getting into the world and the continuity of it. Even though it's kind of outside of the DC proper continuity, I would say that Suicide Squad Harlequin is more in the DCU continuity than her own book. But it is a really interesting book. Got Batman number 3. This is where Terry was found out by the Jokers, the gang, and the Bruce Brain was going to be put into the Joker. We have Vigilante Southland number 3. This is interesting because I think it ended with 3. Vigilante goes after his girlfriend's killer organization and really gets his ass handed to him, so he gets really trashed in that issue. But they canceled this series. Unlike DC, this was like a gonna be a 5-issue series or a 6-issue series, and they always says, we canceled it because of low sales, but we are gonna come out with a trade. Well, they finally solicited this trade in the brand new previews that came out this Wednesday, so I'll be getting it. And I don't like it because you double dip in something you might not want to double dip in. Like I already have 1 through 3, but I might just read it as the trade again, read them again. So I'm happy it's finally seeing the light of day. We have Sixpack and Dog Welder. They go into space to stop Armageddon with Constantine, John Constantine. Suicide Squad Most Wanted number 5, El Diablo Azucar, which is a really cool Gotham type cop that becomes a character. And Xotl, that's like a Aztec god. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. Fight Amanda's group of metahumans, Justica. Shows up I-Man, El Muerto, Akarta, and El Dorado. El Dorado is a character that appeared in the Super Friends around the time of all those ethnic characters, and it has an Amanda backup. We have another 4 out of 5, just Green Lantern's number 13. Jessica and Baz fight an uncontrollable power ring, and Volthoom confronts Raimi. He's one of the Guardians, and it gives a backstory on Raimi. The Phantom Ring issues are really, really good. Mother Panic number 2, really intriguing vigilante that's in Gotham, I was confused at this time what's going on, but I think they might have canceled this book, which really sucks because I have said I'm not really caught up on DC, but I am caught up on Mother Panic. I read them when I was on vacation, and I really enjoyed the hell out of it. I would say it's probably in my top 3 Batman books, currently being published. Probably number 2 right now. Cyborg number 7. This series was higher on my list until it just kept dragging and dragging. But at number 7, it had Variant in cahoots with another CIA agent. Variant was the female Cyborg. I really enjoyed her. What do I have to other say on that is this was kind of her origin and how she became the female Cyborg. Action Comics 970. Superman goes to rescue Luthor and L'Kal convince him of his guilt. So Lacal was trying to kill Luthor. Superman saves Luthor from Lacal. Titans number six. Wally comes back out of the Speed Force by love of his Titan friends. Because, Wally used to come out with Linda, used to get him out of the Speed Force when he got sucked in. But his friends actually brought him back here. And Abracadabra returned to his own time. That was the finale of the Abracadabra story arc. Prowler number one and two, Cloak Conspiracy. Prowler is working for the Jackal and goes after Spider-Woman, not Jessica Drew, the Carpenter Spider-Woman. Black Knight number two through five. This was the short-lived series. He's versus the Uncanny Avengers on Weird World. I really enjoyed Weird World, so it was cool to see Black Knight in that world. He gets the Ebony Blade back from Cap and now rules a section of Weird World. That's where they left him off. Now, I can't think if we've seen him since then. If we have, I probably haven't read it yet. Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps number 11. Hal finds out the Corps is alive. The Corps and Sinestro Corps trick Larfleeze to escape. Larfleeze had captured them and was putting them in Brainiac bottles, if I remember correctly. Detective Comics 947, Spoiler defects and threatens Batman on the team. She is now solo, and they find out who the leader is. That is the team that is kind of getting revenge on Batman for existing because he's caused problems where, because of his existence, they were tortured by some villain and became who they are. We have the mummy, Palimpsest. I don't know how to pronounce it. This was from the Hammer films, number one and two. Really cool story. I was surprised. A woman is captured to keep a sect of Anubis group young, but rescued during a ceremony by the Pyramid group. So there's like a There's a ver various hidden groups in this series. I really enjoyed it. Frostbite number four. This is the dystopian future where the world is frozen and people get this disease called frostbite. Dr. Veronica and Keaton captured. V finds out about Keaton killing her father and throws her off the cliff. This is a really cool Vertigo title if you're into post-apocalyptic. Cave Carson is the cybernetic eye number three. Cave Daughter and Wild Dog, yep, Wild Dog, escape into the underworld and find a previous alien home destroyed. And then there's another unit that's actually chasing Cave by a corporation. We have Rye number 13 through 16. This was basically a lot of history of the Father and the various Ryes. Really enjoyable. Amazing Spider-Man number 20 to 22. This is Doc Ock Returns and the Kane Virus. Ben Reilly turns out to be the new Jackal, 22, which is interesting. 22 gives a lot of backstory, and he's trying to turn Pete. Deathstroke number 9, Jericho visited by Doctor Rose fights a clan, and gives a lot of Deathstroke backstory. All-Star Batman number 5, we have Batman Two-Face finale, Truth Behind Alfred and Two-Face. GCPD go behind the clock and find nothing. But this started off way better than it ended, in my opinion. I really enjoyed it initially, and I thought it ended okay. I gave it a 4 out of 5, but it wasn't as strong as the previous issues. That's all I'm saying. Nightwing number 11. It's a support group for ex-villains. Nightwing tries to see if Gorilla Grimm is innocent, and police arrest Defacer for murder as well. And that is currently his girlfriend, at least up to where I've read. Believed to be pregnant at one point in time. Well, I probably went ahead and spoiled something. I can't remember. I'm in the past here. Justice League number 11, Trickster's daughter saves the day. They never really call him the Trickster, but it is James Jesse. And the day by reprogramming, the way she saves the day is by reprogramming Amazo, which is a huge Justice League villain. And what else did I put on that? Oh, that her, the girl's name is Lily Jesse. Aquaman number 13, JLA and Aquagirl go to the president with evidence. Aquaman defends Atlantis against Nemo. Mara goes back to the Oracles to see if she can help. Justice League versus Suicide Squad number 1 and 2. The JLA confronts the Suicide Squad on Batman's orders. Maxwell Lord breaks out a group of supervillains. Amanda captures the Justice League after Frost takes out Superman. Batgirl number 6 plants on a plane, like snakes on a plane, with a prehistoric plant that Ivy brought on board. It has the son of Penguin. We have Hookjaw number 1. This is a shark book. Shark researches in the Somalian Sea, seeing a group of activity of great whites, and pirates attack that ship, and then Navy SEALs show up. The lead researcher is captured by the pirates, and that's how that issue ended. We have Blue Beetle number 4. Rated this one really high. Jaime gets analyzed by a doctor, Dr. Fate, in book in the past. Jaime gets a date and explains how he got the scarab. We have Hellblazer number 5, John and Mercury on a car ride going to find Abby. If you hear growling on the back, what Harley does is she throws these weird fits where she gets on her back and her feet just, she just kicks her feet and she goes, ah, ah, ah. So that's what you're hearing. John and Mercury on a car ride going to find Abby because Dijin, they're the genie that have been around before humanity was created, have taken her. Swamp Thing is recovering from visit to the Rot, and the Dijin leader has the conversation with Clarice, who's another character that Hellblazer knew at one time. Supergirl being super, this was a good... Joelle Jones on art. I think it was Joelle Jones. But this is an alternate backstory for Supergirl in deluxe format. Don't think any of this is within Rebirth continuity, but it's like an Elseworlds. What they should have did, I think, is launch Supergirl with this title. I think it would have been much, much stronger, and I think it would have been more well received than the current Supergirl title. We have Mosaic number 1 and 3, not to be confused with Green Lantern Mosaic. This is Mosaic the Inhuman. And this is kind of like saying, what if LeBron James became an Inhuman? He has Deadman-like abilities to transfer and seems to retain memories. He jumps into a paramedic at the hospital. His father hires an organization to find out what's going on with his son, goes to girlfriend's home, and finds out she really isn't into him, but father set him up, and he jumps into Spider-Man's body at the end of that. Really enjoyed it. I gave this a 5 out of 5. I gave Clone Conspiracy a 5 out of 5. 1 through 3. When it finished, it wasn't a 5 out of 5, but when it started, for me, it was a 5 out of 5. Yeah, Superman number 13, a 5 out of 5. Enter the bridge as he is now... Enter the Bride as he is now after an alien who murdered a lot. Heartbreaking, and the Frankenstein tries to reunite with his wife since they've lost their son. But she didn't want to get back together. And if you read Frankenstein back in the day, starting with the Grant Morrison stuff and then following it with the Jeff Lemire stuff, you will love this. This is fantastic. I love Frankenstein. Flash number 13, we have Iris and Barry go out on a date. Captain Cold returns. Kid Flash takes care of business for his aunt. We have White number 2. This is another shark book. This is amazing one. This one's really clicking with me. This is the one about the woman that crashes into the Atlantic and then she's surrounded by sharks and she has those incompetent people on the satellite phone talking to her about what to do. So the woman's on the wing of a plane talking to the rescue responsible for the shark, And then she tries to go after a raft, which is a huge bad idea, and the great white shows up. They were experimented sharks, too. They tell her that. Harbinger Renegade, a 5 out of 5 I gave number 2 to. This was Alexander Solomon going after the Psyots. It shows how Pete went into space. Faith and Jay meet up with Axe. Chris wants to help because she's feeling guilty. So I gave that a 5 out of 5. I really enjoyed how Harbinger Renegade started. And we've already talked about this earlier, but DK3 number 7 was my top book of that week. The Kryptonians Invade Themyscira for the baby. That's Wonder Woman's daughter, Superman's daughter, and Laura's sister. So they invade it for the baby. We have Batman dead, but he was thrown into the Lazarus pit. So those are the books from December 26th to the 1st of January. Again, there were 59 books there, and the top ones were again Mosaic from Marvel, Clone Conspiracy from Marvel, Superman number 13, Flash number 13 from DC, Dark Knight number 3, Master Race were top fives. White from Devil's Due first, and Harbinger Renegade from Valiant. I hope you enjoyed this show. I am getting a little tired. I am going to try to knock one more out really quick. So please keep sending questions. I save them off when I see them on the Twitter and on the Facebook now, so I keep track of them. So you can send questions at any time. I'll pull for questions as well. But thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye. Oh, I forgot to give contact information. You can send email to mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can send me tweets at Mike Myers Brunch. You can leave an iTunes review on iTunes. It would be greatly appreciated. You can go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com, leave comments there. And Facebook is Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button and you can leave comments on threads there. And I think that's about it. Thanks for listening. Bye.